You're listening to day four of Essential Church Planting Week on the New Church's Q&A podcast.
I'm so sad. We're on the downward
tear
end.
Emoji.
Tear emoji?
Yeah, tear emoji. Come on.
I don't know if I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Well, we're almost done our special week where we've given you a taste of Essential Church Planting, our Essential Church Planting course. And our commitment here at New Churches is not only to deliver up to 5 new posts per week on our site, but it's also to deliver you premium level courses multiple times a year. So if you go to newchurches.com/courses right now, you'll be able to see the two that are up, one being Essential Church Planting, and the other one being Missional Church Multiplication with guys like Alan Hirsch, John Tyson, Dave Fitch, J.R. Woodward, Deb Hirsch, and more. So be sure to check out that. That's going to be coming up in the next month, coming months, as well as some other courses that we have coming down the pike. Well, today we're going to hear from Mr. Yoda, Ed Stetzer.
Ooh, Poppy.
Poppy.
I call him Poppy.
He's going to be sharing from his 30 years of experience in church planting. He's going to be sharing some secrets with us, and later on we'll be sharing a coupon code with you to get 10% off the course. That's it. It's not 10% plus something else. It's 10%. Just 10%. That's
just 10%.
It. Just 10%. And today, if you want to get a discount off the purchase price of the course, today is actually the last day to get any cash discount because tomorrow is going to be a different deal. It's still going to be a good one, but it's not going to be a cash discount. So if you want to get 10% off Essential Church Planting, then you need to purchase today, by 11:59 p.m. tonight. So let's listen in.
Hi, I'm Ed Stetzer, and I'm really glad to be able to share some ideas about church planting. It really comes from some secrets I've learned over 30 years of being involved in church planting. I actually planted my first church in 1988, which is a long time ago. Donna and I moved to the inner city of Buffalo, New York, planted a church among the urban poor, and I set a course in church planting that would stretch really throughout my whole life, my whole ministry life. I wrote my first book on church planting, which now has been updated 3 times into 3rd edition. I wrote another book on church planting. More on any subject is on the area of church planting. I actually have worked in church planting in New York, in Pennsylvania, in Georgia, and in Tennessee. I've planted churches. I've wrote my PhD dissertation on church planting, did most of my PhD work on North American church planting, and I've worked with a lot of denominations and networks. But most importantly for this conversation is I worked with a lot of church planters. I have a great appreciation and love for church planters because I am one, but also now in the role that I have now, I know the challenges that are there and I want to help and serve. At one point, I had the privilege of leading the largest resource provider for church planting. We had more resources to send out church planters than any other organization. And so I was privileged to be able to help church planters to be on mission, advocate for them, defend them, take some arrows for them from time to time. And so what I wanted to share with you today was 3 secrets that I've seen and learned in 30 years of church planting, some of which I learned through the trial and error myself, some of which I learned from coaching and encouraging church planters along the way. And I found this kind of across the board. You know, I've assessed and coached Anglican church planters. I've taught and trained Pentecostal church planters. I've been with Reformed non-denominational church planters and all different denominational traditions from Baptists to Lutherans and elsewhere. And these are common across denominational traditions. Now, there are some things that obviously are not. There are some theological distinctives that I'm thankful for that denominations would and networks hold differently. But what I'm saying is that there are some factors that I think can avoid you a lot of heartache and trouble if you know these things going into church planting. So I've jotted down 3 things I want to share with you today that I think are just some secrets that we've learned about church planting along the way. First thing I want you to see is that evangelism is more important than administration until administration is needed for evangelism. So let me explain what I mean. The reality is that you can plant a church today in the Western English-speaking world and do so without sharing the gospel in a way that is transformative, that gives people the opportunity to respond by grace and through faith. And what I want to say to you is, particularly as church planting has grown in prominence and enthusiasm, a lot of people have learned administrative skills that produce congregational outcomes. In other words, They know how to plan and organize a worship service. I know how to plan and organize a teaching series. They know how to plan and organize a congregational structure. And so what we end up doing is moving people around, sheep from one fold to another. And the end result is that we haven't actually evangelized into existence churches. That phrase, by the way, comes from my friends in Australia, Scott Sanders and others in Australia, who talk about evangelizing churches into existence. I want you to remember that phrase, because if you're going to evangelize churches into existence, so don't miss this, right? We're not just planting churches. We're planting the gospel through evangelism that leads to disciple making, that leads to congregational formation. That's a much healthier way to plant a church. Now, to do that, you might say, well, how do I do that personally? Well, I want you to hear that from the beginning, you need to set, if you're a church planter, a quarter of your time. We talk about this in Planting Missional Churches, now the third edition coming out. We talk about spending a quarter of your time in intentional relationship building leading to evangelism. Now that, I don't mean going about necessarily door to door and asking if you were to die today, do you know for sure whether you go to heaven or hell? But I am talking about the consistent intentional building of relationships at the local coffee shop, at the place you buy your gas, and so break down the societal temptation and really the societal focus on isolating us from one another, and spend a quarter of your time. If you're full time, I'm talking about 10 to 15 hours a week, building relationships with unchurched people. So again, it starts with evangelism is more important than administration. Now why? Because our natural tendency for many of us in church planting might be administration, might be other things, but I'm going to use administration. It might be ministry and serving people, and those are all good and important things, but I want you to be in relationship building leading to evangelistic conversations. However, what eventually happens is that administration is eventually needed for evangelism. So the flip side of this is you continually need to spend time with the lost, but what I'm also saying is as you begin to plant your church, you need to spend time with leaders. In other words, one of the challenges that many church planters have is that they ultimately struggle with the ability to organize other people into a task. So maybe they shared the gospel a lot. Maybe some people came to Christ and were being discipled. But now I have to exercise another set of gifts. So evangelism is more important than administration until administration is needed for evangelism and everything else. So what I want to say to you if you're planting a church is that what got you here may not actually continue your church planting capacity and success, is that you have to change gifts. That's one of the biggest secrets that people sometimes miss, is that you need to change gift mixes and uses along the way. And so with evangelism, it starts there. I want to say that's the area that tends to get the short end of the stick. I want you to start there. I want you to stay there. I want you to continually ask the question, am I spending enough time with leaders and the lost? This will be something that you ask at year one, year three, year five. How do I continue to spend more time with leaders and the lost? So that's number one. Evangelism is more important than administration until administration is needed for evangelism. Those gifts change, but that focus on leaders and the lost does not. Number two, I want you to also see that failure is overstated, but still a problem. But most failure comes from personal issues. Okay? This is what we've seen after years and years, after decades of observing church planters. I still remember one church planter in a mentoring group I was leading who was so confident and self-assured of himself and so difficult and problematic to work with that I at one point had to say to him, you know, this isn't really helpful for you. I first confronted on more than one occasion, and subsequently that church planter flamed out over and more than once, over and over again. This is not a rare occurrence. Now, I get that sometimes you hear these failure rates. Well, let's start by maybe unpacking that. Maybe you've heard 80% of church plants fail in the first year. That's not a real statistic. I talked to the people who came up with the statistic. They know it's not a real statistic. I don't think they use it anymore. They shouldn't. But the reality is, according to our research, about two-thirds, you know, continual, as we look at stuff, about two-thirds of church plants after 4 years are still here. It doesn't mean all they're healthy. And what we kind of see a pattern is about a third of churches are healthy after 4 years, about a third of churches are here and kind of trying to get healthy after 4 years, and about a third of the churches are gone. But that's still too high. So failure is overstated, right? It's not 80%. That's the kind of thing someone says to get you to come to their conference. 80% of church plants fail, but come to my conference and you won't be among them. But at the same time, it's most failures are related to personal issues. I can't tell you how many times a church planter has come to me and said, my marriage has just sort of the stress that was there, the stress cracks that were there, became evident and ultimately grew in church planting. One church planter said to me, one of the sharpest church planters I ever had the privilege of deploying, said to me, he was in Indiana, and he said, listen, my wife's told me she's going home, and he named another state. She's going home, and she really wants me to come with her. And that's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking, particularly when the church was going well, but the stress of church planting, the failure to manage our schedule. So men and women who are involved in church planting teams and church planting leadership, you have to manage yourself. You have to make sure you pastor your family. You have to prioritize the personal things, right? Like time alone with Lord, like being with your family, so that you are planting a church from a healthy place. Listen, I want you to miss this. A church plant planted from an unhealthy place becomes an unhealthy church plant. And so I would rather have you healthy 3 years from now, walking with the Lord, loving your family, and a church plant that grew slower than you putting everything you have and neglecting the weightier things like a relationship with God. Don't get so busy with the work of the Lord that you forget the Lord of the work. Don't get so busy planting a church that you don't pastor your family. So failure is overstated, but still a problem, but mostly is from personal issues. So the one way to help with this is to get a coach or to get more training. That's why we're excited about doing these resources, is to get a coach, get more training to assist you in that process. The third thing, and I'll close with this, is that conferences can inspire and undermine you at the same time. Because church planting is hard, but encouraging work. So conferences can inspire you because you can hear great stories, but in hearing great stories, you can think that they're normal. I'm the father of three daughters, and I teach them that I think as any father should, is that the people they see on billboards, the people they see on television, that's not what normal people look like. I think we need maybe some sort of caveat, some sort of warning label on conferences. That's not what normal church planting looks like. I remember speaking at a church planting conference. It was actually at Saddleback, and it was called the Radicalis Conference. I guess it was not just church planting, but there were, I think, nine of us who were speakers, and it was all, I don't think it had breakouts, it was all main sessions. And of the nine of us who were main session speakers, eight of them had planted churches that at that point, they started the church they were pastoring. And at that church, the attendance was, I think, somewhere between 6,000 and 25,000 in attendance. So it's speaker after speaker, eight of them, and then there was me, and I was not, right? So I'm a missiologist, right? My PhD is in missions. I train church planners. And so it's kind of like that old rhyme song from a television show called Sesame Street. It says, one of these things is not like the other. Well, that was me. And so it was my turn to speak, and I got up, and among other things, I said something with kind of one corner of my eye looking at the host, Rick Warren, knowing I was preaching there that weekend. At Saddleback, I didn't want to burn a bridge, but I, in a moment of prophetic clarity, I said, listen, this is not real. What you're seeing here is not what you're going to experience. And I said to them, some of you, when you got here, you drove up in your car, and there's a four-lane road into this campus, on this campus, four-lane road with stoplights. The name of the road, by the way, is Purpose Drive, like you didn't see that coming. And then you come up to Saddleback Way, and you drive up, people greet you in the parking lot, and you come up to this building that seats thousands. Then you hear a speaker who says, well, I planted a church and it grew to 5,000. I planted a church. It's now 25,000. And I want to say to you, that's not what you're going to experience. Now, again, am I trying to damper anyone's faith? No. I'm just doing math. I mean, this is not a normal experience. And I can tell you statistically, and we'll look at that even through this course, that the normal experience of church planting is that the typical church plant does not break 100 in after 4 years. That's what normal church planting looks like. I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm trying to encourage you that church planting is a long, hard slog that leads to some beautiful and wonderful results. It's a beautiful thing to pastor a church, to wrestle through and to plant a church out of the soil of lostness, spending time with leaders and lost people, raising up leaders, engaging more lost people. So what I said at that conference was that conferences like this can become ministry pornography for you. It's an unrealistic depiction of an experience you're never going to have that distracts you from the real and wonderful thing. And that's what church planting is. It's a real and wonderful thing.
All right. What are some of your thoughts, Todd?
Well, I'm slightly distracted by the closer of ministry porn.
Yep.
but it's so true. Mm-hmm. I mean, because, you know, we are distracted by what's not real. It's the picture of
something that is perfect. And, you know, and even the ones that appear to be perfect are not mm-hmm. perfect. Mm-hmm. That's not reality. And I think that's probably a good, very shaking analogy. The big thing for me is, you know, just going back and recapping that was like 3 of 30. Is that right?
No, those are the three he talks about. This is just based on his 30 years of planting experience.
Okay,
it's based on
30. Okay, yeah. 30 years, not mm-hmm. 30 things. Mm-hmm. So, you know, really key evangelism is more important than administration. So many times we do get the cart before the horse.
Yeah.
That evangelism really is, if we're going to plant a church that makes disciples and honors God, and it's gonna really flow out of evangelism. It's gonna flow out of evangelism, not because we got our systems and processes right, as much as a guy like me who is all about systems and processes mm-hmm. would want to believe. Those things are very important, and you want to be ready. That's not an excuse not to be ready for the people that God brings you.
Yeah,
but you have to do the hard job of going out and engaging the people. So yeah. that was really big for me.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, I love this quote, failure is overstated, but most failure comes from personal issues.
Yes.
Now, and I know there's this idea, you know, you read Paul's epistles and, you know, you read Acts and, oh, you know, I've gone through this, I've gone through that, and I need to, you know, be persecuted for the sake of the gospel. But you can't go and persecute your family, right? I mean, it's one thing to say, yes, Lord, you are number one, but that never includes you neglecting your family or you doing the work of the Lord at the neglect of your family.
Yes. I mean, you know, there have been times in my life where I've sat down with pastor, and in my case it was a community campus pastor, and you know, he's like, well, basically I feel called to this, but and we've, you know, we've done a good job of launching this, and it's tough work. Mm-hmm. But my wife is like, that's, you may be called, but yeah, I'm not called.
Yeah, exactly. Now, if you aren't yet sure of buying and you've been listening to these four sessions, that, you know, during Essential Church Planting Week, well, I want to encourage you to actually go to newchurches.com/essentialchurchplanting, and you can subscribe and get the first three videos for free. So what that means is you'll be able to get today's session, what you just listened to, you'll be able to get the video version and see the video quality, what we've done with the videos, the course consumption tool, the handouts. You'll be able to get the first handout where it's the reflection questions, some notes. You'll be able to experience that for free. So if you go there today, you'll be able to get access to that session and the next two, the first three modules for free. But if you are ready to purchase, well, today, if you purchase before 11:59 p.m. Central Time, you can get 10% off when you go to the cart and put this coupon code in. Are you ready for it? Ed's goatee.
Oh, Ed's goatee.
Yeah, so EDSGOATEE. All right, that's the coupon code. Ed's goatee. All right, so
does he know this?
No way, man.
He will. Yes, thanks to Twitter.
Yes, gotta love Twitter. And here's the other thing, okay? Now, that's 10% off, but if you become a Plus member with us, then your discount actually goes up to 25% off. Okay, so that brings your discount up to $100 off the purchase price. And anyone can become a member of newchurches.com. You can go to newchurches.com/become-a-member, right? So become a member, and you can read through the benefits of Plus membership and all that entails. But you know what? Go to newchurches.com/essentialchurchplanting and enter that coupon code today. Ed's goatee, and we'll be back tomorrow for our last session in Essential Church Planting Week.
Oh, I'll say it ain't so.